Let's get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to the work session of our April 1st, 2025 meeting. We'll take it seriously, even though it's April 1st. And our first thing is an overview and update of Hatch Park design. So I'll turn it over to Ken.
Welcome everyone to the work session.
Sorry. My computer's going nuts here. Here we go. All right. Thank you, Mayor. We had some unanswered questions that we need the council's input on as we get ready for the final design for Hatch Park. And so we thought the easiest thing to do was to come back into a work session and get answers and feedback to those things. We've gone through some technical miracles here to have G. Brown Design be able to show you some really cool graphics and some video and everything, things that we see when we have meetings with them, not in this room. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mike Wannenberg. You guys know Mike, to walk us through.
Hi, everybody.
So like Ken said, we just, from the public open house comments, we just wanted to circle back and just make, do our due diligence and just make sure we're proceeding into the best interest of the city. And so based off kind of the last city council meetings, some of the things that kind of came up is just some questions of like, okay, is the playground, really kind of meeting the intent and providing everything it can, just making sure we're not missing opportunities. So just want to kind of look at, kind of do a deep dive on each proposed play equipment piece. And then the other item of discussion tonight is kind of the outdoor living room, just if that's programmed appropriately. So just to remind you, so that here's the overall plan. So the larger playground area is just in this area here. And then the outdoor living room is that larger circle there. And then we have a smaller playground next to the pickleball courts here. Jessica, if you can hear me, you want to go ahead and open up that Lumion model?
Excuse me, will you speak up just a little more? I'm having a hard
sure.
time hearing you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So these are the image boards of the playground that we presented in the public open house. And we'll kind of go into the model after this. Just with these images, I guess we're a little bit limited of, how much detail we can see. So Jessica's going to run that from her side and zoom in on that north area. Kind of work through each piece. I'm going to go to that north spinner. Hopefully we don't get everyone motion sickness here, but. Go ahead even more, Jessica. Yeah. And so this piece here at the end, so we're just kind of work north. So this is called the Icarus spinner. It's like a kind of acts as a merry-go-round, but it's overhead. So really can get momentum. I mean, I see adults on this all the time. So it's fun for all ages. And then I guess orbit back, Jessica, real quick to where you were at. Just a note, in this corner right here, we do have a kind of a musical chime piece, just kind of something a little bit more tactile. Kids can make some, make music, and it's kind of to the side and corner away from the outdoor living room, just to get, so that's a buffer.
So Mike, how does that work? Is it just activated by the wind?
Or? No, so it has like a little, like almost like kind of drumstick, and you just hit it there. There's like three different, and they all have a different note.
Different tones, okay.
So. Okay, and then going So
is that a step there?
No, that is a little bit of the quirks in our model.
Okay.
So there wouldn't be any steps basically off the sidewalk into that's some of the limitations with our limited software. But so I guess just real quick, there is ADA access to all these pieces. The whole playground is not accessible. There's areas where there's certain routes, but like for the top of the zip line, which you're seeing here, and then at the unloading area, it's accessible. And so this is a double zip line. We're not showing this, but in the final plans, we will show one with just a traditional seat and then one with a bucket seat. Just give those options for inclusive play. And there is grade change, you know, from the top to the bottom of the zip line. Okay, great. I guess, Jessica, if you orbit left, maybe we hit the crawl tunnel. So, like I mentioned before, you know, really with this design, that the whole playground is kind of integrated into this kind of, as it kind of slopes and terraces down into the basin. So we're trying to, you know, use that as an opportunity instead of a constraint. And so this area, so to the left is sort of the kind of the main curve path that goes from the south side of the, or south end of the park to the north end of the park. But then it tapers down, and this is a little area where we have a little bridge that connects those two sides. And then in the foreground where you see the kid in the blue, there's a crawl tunnel that kind of cuts through that slope. And then the kind of blue dots that you see, those are kind of like pour in place or rubber, kind of just kind of creates some color patterns in the playground. Kids or parents can sit on them, play on them, jump from one to the next.
Is the green, is that turf or is that an artificial?
So it is shown as artificial turf, but as we've done a little bit of kind of going back and forth and vetting it, we think that this area right here is steep enough that the rubber pour in place makes more sense, just because the turf, we have used the turf on slopes, but it does tend to like over time kind of stretch. So we think that the majority of it will be probably synthetic turf in the other areas, but this area, I think the better choice is the rubber. So, and then Jessica, if you kind of zoom into that rope along the slope. So this is just a little simple, you know, low cost piece that, again, it's, you know, with the slope, kind of just a hand-over-hand kind of, you know, piece that kids can play on up the slope. And this is a little bit deceiving in this model, but there's probably a 2-to-1 slope here, so it is probably steeper than what it appears here. And then behind that, you'll see this.
Can I ask a quick question about
that? Yep.
How far off the ground is that rope? Is it something that kids are meant to hang on?
No, it's kind of just hand height. So I'd say 24 to 30 inches. I don't know exactly.
How do they play with it then?
So it's on a pretty steep slope. So, you know, it's like you can kind of like climb up the slope. Yeah. 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 It doesn't look steep in this model, but it is steep, fairly steep. And then this kind of alcove here in the foreground is a kind of a net that's kind of integrated into the slope. And this, most of these play pieces are off the shelf from a reputable playground equipment vendors. But this piece that Jessica's got her arrow on, I guess I got this laser here too I should use. And then the bridge in that crawl tunnel, and then the embankment slide that we'll show you in just a little bit are custom pieces. But I mean, we're working with the playground manufacturer for the ropes, but it is a little bit more of a custom element. And then this is a pendulum swing here. And that's just a kind of a different way of where you're, it just swings back and forth. You know, multiple kids can use it. So it's kind of great for just social play, group play. And then,
so it swings side to side.
Yeah, side to side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like, yeah. So I think it's just, yeah, so the to the right here is the cube, just a kind of a net climbing structure. And so kind of, it has a nice architectural piece as well that's, you know, kind of the high point of the playground. And then to the right is the concrete embankment slide. So this one we've done on numerous parks, and really just, we use it just because it is so heavily used. I mean, the kids are always playing on it. You know, adults can go down it. You know, multiple kids can go in at a time. So then you got kind of these little stairs that kind of tie back in. That's actually, you can get to the outdoor living room that direction, so. And I guess any questions up to this point?
I have a question about the slide. Do you see in other parks that those end up getting used by bikes or skateboards instead of kids?
Not too much, because the surfacing at the bottom isn't really conducive to skateboards. So, I mean, I'm sure kids do it, but we haven't seen any considerably, you know, damage from them. You know, and I guess the other thing with this is it's all at grade. So the surfacing to the sides is flush, so there's not really an edge to grind on. They can go down it, but yeah, they fly off the end, I guess, and yeah. I haven't noticed any grind marks on the ones that we've had installed. And there is a bar at the, Jess, can you just zoom out just real quick to the bar at the top? So there is a bar right here that, you know, the kids can hold on to as they launch down the slide. So that's probably a big deterrent in itself. Okay. And you want to go over to the swings. So the swings are, you know, they've been around forever, and they're simple, they're pretty cost effective, but we just found that kids just love swings, so they don't ever get sick of them. So so we got, you know, so kind of basket swing on one side, and then traditional swings on, and this would probably be one where, you know, potentially we'd have a bucket swing in the one, just to, again, provide more options. And then, and Jessica, if you go to that.
Can you tell us about the structure that's on the other side of this?
This right here, the big one?
Well, there's two that you haven't talked about. That, yeah, that right there. Is that swings?
So this is the bottom of the zip line.
Oh, I see.
So yeah, so the top of the zip line's there, and this is the landing area.
And then back over by the net, there's like a triangle thing, maybe looks like a teeter-totter. What is that? There's a little girl in the pink dress standing next to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I missed that one. Thank you. Yeah, it basically is a little it's a stand-up seesaw is what they call it. So it's like a little teeter-totter.
And does that basket, is that the same as a bucket? You put a small child in it?
No, the bucket's a little bit different. So the basket's where multiple kids get in it. A bucket is more for, you know, a kid in a wheelchair or mobility issues that they can strap them in. So then the big piece in the back is the Qantas. And so this is kind of the priciest piece of equipment. This is a fairly new piece from Landscape Structures. But there is one in Highland that has just been extremely popular, but it does provide, so you got kind of the sequence of where kids kind of do sort of a loop circuit through this with the figure eight shape, but then there's a series of ropes that kids can climb up at different points and nets. Yeah. And then little like little buckets.
And this, like some of these spots, of course, you know, the idea is that this will be full of playgrounds, but, you know, a lot of, you know, kids on the spectrum will tend to like want some place that they can kind of be aside. So there's just a spot where, you know, kids can just passively play as well. And then you got the slide that comes down. So these are just like kind of almost like rubber belts.
So they interact on that, both from the top or the bottom?
Yeah, or the bottom. So where these got these slots, so you can actually use it. At least my, you can actually use it as kind of like monkey bars from down below, but then kids can be walking on top. Oh, and you got a little like.
Is that Qantas structure modifiable at all? If we said, hey, we'd like more of this or less of this?
To a certain extent, so they have different versions of it that are smaller, but yet, so yes, it is modified to a certain extent, but it's limited to kind of the options. And this is probably one of the more robust versions of it. The versions that I've seen are more basic than this.
The only thing I would say, I think it looks really, really fun, but there are a few spaces up at the top where kids can stop. It feels like they're meant to be moving the whole time, and I know my kids don't keep moving the whole time. So kind of along the cross where some of those, the top where those orange and blue squares are, if there could be more of a platform. Like you get to the top and you get to just hang out there for a little while. Yeah. And I know on play structures, my kids do a lot of like, pretend this is a ship, or pretend it's a house, or pretend it's this. And this kind of means they don't really have a place to sit and just be on it if they're not actively moving. Not as many spaces. There are some. It's a very cool structure, though. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, we can talk to them and just see kind of what else they can do. Is if there's some, if we can work that in.
Even if they just put more of the squares in it, so it just fills it out a little bit more.
Okay. Sure.
So do you mean like two or three kids sitting on top?
Yeah.
So it feels like they've arrived at the top.
Yeah.
There's a destination and they just like sit there. And my kids would then sit there and plot out like, oh, we're on a ship and we're going here, or we're whatever. This is our house and whatever.
So almost like if these like little squares that you're seeing, the orange and blue, if you had just a, like a large one in there somewhere, like whether it's the rubber or something, you know.
They can be king of the castle.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
We had a tower up kind of where the cube was, and one we just were getting to a point where budget-wise, but you know, there's, you know, towers have just, they're done already, and I felt like this was kind of a, you know, fresher approach. So there's one other spinner.
Jessica, I think we have a question, Mike.
I do. I was just wondering where you said there, you know, if kids were on the spectrum or something, that this would help them. Is most of the play items, are they, or the equipment, is it disability accessible as well?
Yeah, so there's transfer platforms in some of these areas where they can transfer from a wheelchair onto the structure. Like with the bucket swings, obviously, and then with the zip line, you'll have like a bucket that, and then there's accessibility as you can kind of. Jessica, would you just zoom out just a little bit from the aerial perspective? You can kind of see where these swoops come in and then where the artificial turf. So technically the wood chips are accessible, but if they're maintained perfectly, which just the nature just never happens because you just have to almost rake it daily. So that's kind of why we have kind of either the artificial turf or the pour-in-place rubber that would be getting to these certain points of the structures. Yeah. Does that answer your question? Or,
I wanted to just make sure that there was enough for everybody. You know, it hit everybody's needs.
Yeah, and really, from everything that we've learned with kids on the spectrum, like the tactile things, really important. So just like the different textures of the play surfacing, from rubber to turf to the wood chips, sand is an is very, it has a lot of play value, but we've just, it just gets messy and it, it's a hard one to maintain. So that usually gets X'd, but it, sand does have a lot of play value. So yeah, so there's one other spinner right here. That's just kind of more your traditional playground right there. Or merry-go-round, I should say. And then, well, I guess two spinners. We got this other little, just small spinner there. And the spinners, if you've noticed, like the spinners and the kind of the zip line, we've kind of put those to the back of the playground, just so those are kind of more at the periphery, so your kids aren't walking through as kids are spinning around on with the spinners or swings. I mean, it still happens, but try to minimize it. So, any questions on the main playground?
I have a couple comments. I think this looks really exciting. I really like the kind of integrated feel. It feels like it's integrating into the existing landscape, and I like that rustic feel. I think the Qantas structure looks very cool. I like that there are built-in shade structures over that and some of the other spaces. I think that's really important. I really like all the retaining walls around. I think those become play items as well, that there's a lot of levels of climbing and balancing and walking along. I think those are really, really cool. So I just have two comments or like recommendations that I would love to see. And I already said one of them, which is a platform at the top of the Qantas and probably at the top of the cube as well. If there was some type of way that kids get to the top and then they get to just stay there. I think I know with my kids, there's a lot of active play where they're moving, but they also do a lot of stationary play where once they get there, they want to just do imaginative play instead of being constantly in motion. And I think the cube kind of requires you to be either climbing or climbing down. So platforms on those two would be my recommendation. And then the second one, I love the blue dots that are in the hillside. I would like cover it with blue dots. Yeah. So okay. It then becomes like an obstacle course that they can just hop okay. All around. I think that would be really cool.
Okay. Yeah. And so if the artificial turf is a little bit harder to do like patterns, but like if we did like the pour in place rubber, the sky's the limit on that. So I think we have talked about kind of integrating a little bit more rubber in places just to give that pop of color and patterns and so make it a little more playful.
So I looked at the retaining walls and thought, oh good, there's places for people like me to sit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah,
you looked at it was play, but yeah. A lot of sitting space.
And it's not shown on this model, but we will have some pockets of boulders kind of interdispersed in the wood chips area. And we just found that, again, that's kids can play on them, and then they act as additional seating for parents. And so. Okay, great. Anything else?
I will say for myself, if budget becomes problematic, the things I would take away first are the noisemakers. Mm-hmm. For my kids, they will play with that for about 2 minutes,
yeah.
And then they're done. And that does, if it's an expensive item, or if it is in the place of a platform or more of the blue dots, I would absolutely rather have those than the noisemakers. And then maybe one of the spinners, that where the two are together, maybe take away one of those if we're trying to balance where those budget items are. Otherwise, I like them all, and I think it would be great to keep them all. But if there becomes this is going to cost more money, that would be where I would recommend pulling back some money.
Okay, no, that's good to know. Yeah, my kids are the same way. They just play with the musical equipment for about 5 minutes, and that's it. So, yeah. All right, Jessica, you want to go over real quick to the smaller playground? We're somewhat limited in space here because it's obviously a smaller area, but so we do have one shade structure, shade cell. So what you're seeing immediately under the shade cell is another bank of swings. This playground is a little more catered to younger kids. So so that we'd probably have maybe a little higher concentration of buckets, you know, just the kids, the toddler swings on here. And then we got another merry-go-round, and then these are like just basically kind of like playful, kind of like just honeycomb steppers that kids can kind of play on, and then they act as seating as well. And then you can kind of see, so we're kind of a little bit of a honeybee theme on this one, but we got a little like bouncer that's a bee. It's that little piece there. And then there's just, it's kind of like a log obstacle play piece that with the orange that in the background there. So
can nothing. I make a comment about this one too?
Yeah.
I love the shade structure. This one feels a little bit more sparse than the other ones, and maybe adding an additional shade structure will help it feel like you're enclosed in this and it's not sparse. And then the second thing is I don't see anywhere in this area where kids could play like house.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like they go and they congregate here and they're doing imaginative play. So like the orange log is a walking across balance toy, but there's some of those already here. So if there's something that could be like a platform where they would like, now we're here doing whatever play, I would love to see something like that swapped out. Cause I don't see where else kids would congregate to like do cooperative play together.
And we were looking at maybe some like a series of like mounds that, you know, and maybe like a little hobbit door type thing or something similar. And then like, it is, I think part of this where there, it seems bleak is there isn't enough, you know, maybe color, and maybe we can get some of that, either those rubber balls or maybe some, again, pour in place is expensive, or, you know, the artificial turf is expensive, but I think just having something in there to break up that wood chips would be probably beneficial. But
and if this is for littler kids, I do think there needs to be more seating, because parents are going to have to stay there and watch their kids more so than the other playground even. So maybe another retaining wall or just more seating in general.
Okay.
How should we take these renderings? Should we take them as, hey, this is 75% of the concept and more detail comes, or should we take it more as,
you know,
this is the concept
in
its completed form, and we'd like your comments.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I mean, we're moving full speed ahead on the drawing package. So unless if there's big shifts from this meeting, what you're seeing is pretty close to what we're moving forward with. So, you know, there's going to be some intricate details with some, maybe the more custom pieces, like the fence. You know, this is kind of a placeholder for the fence. Those are things that might shift a little bit, but. Does that answer
you? When you say younger kids, give me like an age.
Yeah, 1 to 5. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any way of maybe incorporating like a small slide that they could, you know, climb up and go down? Just because it feels like there's a lot of empty space. Like,
yeah.
Maybe it's just the way the drawing is, I don't know, but maybe a slide is, I feel like little kids like that.
Yeah, yeah, we can look at it. I guess the one thing with playground design, just so it does look like there's a ton of void space, but the fall zones, that's the invisible line that's offset from all the pieces that we have to buy for safety. So like, and swings are huge fall zones, so they take up a lot of real estate. So that's part of what to drive, but we can definitely look at, I think we could get some of those things incorporated.
So a slide and a playhouse something in this area is, I think, what we're saying.
Yep.
You know,
there's some small little more toddler type pieces that kind of, I think, fit that bill.
So you're thinking something that you might see in a more traditional playground that we have in town, where kids could climb up and slide out of it, or, you know, a piece of play equipment that, is that what you mean?
Well, for me, for the playhouse, it doesn't have to be necessarily a larger piece of equipment. It could be a pergola that's a little bit maybe shorter than what would feel like a regular pergola, but it's a place where kids like, I'm in the house now, I'm in this space. And maybe it has like a ledge around the outside so that they can pretend they're at a store or they're at a something.
Okay.
But that's for my piece, but you should probably answer for the slide. what you think.
Well, just because I have a grandson that I take to the park, and I feel like this doesn't have enough climbing, because mm-hmm. the little ones climb where the bigger kids sit and chat. Just a thought.
Yeah. Yeah, and there might be some opportunities, maybe what you're talking about with, like, with, that doesn't take up a lot of space, but maybe there's some, like, little house playful, like, almost like faux storefront type things that we could, they could go through the door, but there's not, like, a lot of depth to them, so. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. Great. Any other questions before we head to the outdoor living room? Okay. So just so Jessica's zooming into the outdoor living room area, but just know that based off of the kind of the initial concepts, this isn't completely fleshed out just because we knew that things might shift a little bit. But when we presented the three concepts last fall, this was the option that I think most people gravitated to. And really, I think the biggest concern we've heard is with the removable cushions or the soft cushions on the seating. And I don't know. I mean, that's a pretty easy delete.
Can you just summarize what that concern is?
Yeah. So I think the concerns that we've heard is like, you know, how do you keep people from taking off with them? You know, vandalism, that thing. And there is some products that we've looked at that you can secure them with cables and stuff, but that just keeps coming up that might be a concession that we may need to make. So I don't know if there was any other concerns from here, or I know there was a few that came out of public open house comments related to that.
Do you have experience from other parks that would inform this decision?
We actually haven't. We've done cushions in like rooftop settings or more of a commercial setting, but not in a public park setting. So, but there's a lot more products available in the last few years that are starting to lean towards making that a possibility. So, and then the other item with the outdoor living room is really the fire feature of just safety concerns. And so kind of we've done a little bit of due diligence and research on and just looked at different projects, developments in the area. You know, there's some in Farmington Station. There's some up in Heber Park City. Again, it's Daybreak's done some in parks. And so what we've, to mitigate the risk is really a combination of several things. One, having a hearth that's wide enough to where kids can't just, you know, back into it. There's a certain depth to it. And then having that hearth sort of like higher than step height to where it's not easy to just step into. And then there'd be an automatic emergency shutoff valve for the gas. So if something happens, it's just a simple switch like button like you see at the gas station or something. And then the gas element would be on a timer to where it's almost like a splash pad where kids hit it or whoever hits it, and then it's on for 30 minutes, then it shuts off, and then they just have to hit it again to reactivate it. And then as far as like what this overhead element, this is again very preliminary, but we're looking at ways to where we kind of have a sculpture element that's not necessarily like Daybreak's done just a pretty much a welded wire mesh over it, and we think we can achieve that same purpose but have it more artfully done and more of a sculptural piece. So that's kind of the to address those, and then probably you know having a signage as well.
So. Ken, have we budgeted any kind of money for cameras in this?
We haven't quite gotten to that part of it yet. So,
because that, to me, that would solve some of the problems in this maybe. Area.
We definitely will need cameras in this park.
So. Yeah, so we have the electrical engineer is going to be probably working with John and others at the city to determine kind of the best, and probably police, what the best locations of those security cameras are.
Yep.
Or we could just put some fake ones up. Oh, never mind, I tried that.
Well, I think that's, there could be a combination of, security cameras are expensive, and we've actually had some luck with the fake ones, but maybe it's a combination of the, where you have the real deal and then a few to supplement it that are low cost.
I really liked this idea of the living room, but I do think that there are some maintenance concerns. Mm-hmm. And so what I would like to see, just speaking for myself, is this place over by the fire where there are the upholstered furniture pieces, maybe those become built-in concrete seating spaces. Mm-hmm. And I think we saw some designs like that had like a whole bench all the way around.
Yeah,
I think that might be a good idea. That there's still seating there. I know for myself, for my outdoor furniture, I have to replace the cushions almost every year. Yeah. So these are completely exposed to the elements. And I think that they will wear out very quickly. Aside from even people walking away with them, they're just going to not wear very well, potentially. And then with the fire, I think the fire is beautiful. I loved what you said about ways to mitigate the risk of that. I also think the fire is not necessary. We could also, in that space, have a fountain. And I have no idea what a fountain versus a fireplace costs. But the cost would matter to me in that area. Or it could just be stationary art that we just have a sculpture. That because I like the idea of sitting around and you're looking at something.
So
but it doesn't
necessarily
have to be a
fire. We do have a lot of water already. And there is actually a water jet ski. Would you rotate around with that water feature?
Does having a lot of water around make it easier to do a fountain? Is that?
Not necessarily. It's just that we could add another fountain. It's just there is a lot of water already proposed. We got the runnel that's going all the way. Jessica rotates around through the along the spine, and then we got the big berm waterfall feature and pond. So we can definitely add a fountain. It just there's a lot of water already.
Water fountains can be very maintenance intensive, unless you pour distilled water in them.
And this, I mean, the kind of the whole, well, not the whole goal, but part of the a key part of that big feature that you're seeing in the background is really to create that kind of white noise to hopefully drown out I-15. So that, but more water is, I'm not opposed to it, but
Do you have any sense of if a fountain is more or less expensive than a fireplace?
I guess there's probably a big range of how elaborate and big you go. Like, I mean, they have smaller cost-effective fountains. I don't know. I'd probably, if you're talking about a small fountain, it's probably sixes, I'm guessing, but
Would the fireplace put off some heat?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's gas. I mean, there's a lot of variables of how big and how what kind of burners and BTUs that you put out. But the idea is that, kind of from the beginning, even before we were engaged with the master planning, like the outdoor living room, that and seasonal interest was a huge part of kind of what.
Yeah.
And so that was, in the wintertime, Christmas events.
That's my thinking. And I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking it's a cool draw. It's a cool draw if I can call it an urban neighborhood of people coming and spending time and not feeling like they're in a rush and a warm environment. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I could see people just spending time there.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, we could take it to, I mean, you could do a full, like, screen enclosure where you can't get near it, but, then it sort of kind of maybe defeats the purpose of having it, but, so.
I mean, the idea, I'm trying to summarize in my own head, but you'll pick up what I'm trying to put down here. We're trying to avoid that, like, casual play whatever, people don't get hurt, and A, and then probably B, that we don't have a liability, big liability risk. But you don't want to make something that it's like, oh, our goal is, it is impossible to hurt yourself, because then if that's your goal, then you might ruin the spot, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing foolproof. I can say that. Like, people can get hurt on just about anything. So, yeah. And being a designer in Europe, I've seen some projects over there. They can get away with a lot more than we can here, obviously. But comes to playground equipment, I mean, it's crazy what they can do where we can't. So, which is the nature of the beast, but. So yeah, it just kind of comes down to the comfort level.
So know, Mike, this, is a conceptual fire piece.
Yes.
We looked at some others.
Yes.
Have you guys made, done any other work on different designs?
We haven't developed anything in detail. I guess, Jessica, can you bring up that board?
Just to make sure the council sees what the staff has seen on the fire designs.
You just go zoom in on those images. These are just areas, projects that have, there's fire features that have been done in the area. Or some of them are actually out of state, but they're public settings. So zoom in a little bit more. Well, you guys have better eyesight than me, but.
Yeah. So you can see how some of these designs that we looked at as a staff, you can see how their attempts at providing a warm fire feature, but also they're not easy for kids to climb, to fall into or climb into. The screens are recessed, like the one up on the upper right. You know, you wouldn't accidentally like put your hand or your leg in there. You know, it's more or less protected. Of course, you have to be careful because they're not, as Mike said, they're not risk-free at all.
Yeah, it's we're trying to eliminate the accidentally bump, trip, that kind of scenario. But we can't eliminate the, you know, three boys daring each other to see how
close they can get. Yeah,
they can run through something or over it or
they'll never do it the second time.
And that's, Daybreak actually said that they actually put something on top of the ones that they've done because kids were seeing how long they could stand on the grill before they start melting. So,
you know, getting back to the furniture, I hate to just say to the pads and stuff. There's got to be some real heavy industrial.
Well, so our thought is like, so the rest of the site furnishings, we talked about wood at the beginning, but then we deviated to a composite material that looks like wood. And so that would be an easy, instead of just concrete, because that's going to be a little bit, you know, warmer in the winter, you know, so it doesn't get as hot in the summer. And steel anyway, maybe not concrete, but that'd warm it up. I have actually seen like a couch. It's a precast like concrete couch that looks like a puffy couch that we could maybe look at, but you know,
but not as soft because
but it's
concrete.
Not as soft. Yeah, okay. Not soft. It just looks.
It might look
soft,
puffy, but it's
concrete. Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's a real dilemma because you know it'd be nice. It would be awesome to go to a park that had a true living room, you know, something you might put in your own backyard. But I think my experience too with my backyard furniture is those cushions do have to be replaced. You know, they get rained on, the sun beats on them, and, you know, they lose their initial texture feel.
Is a company that does, if you guys are familiar with the little play area in the, City Creek Mall, but near the food court, there's those soft like dinosaurs and stuff. That's That's something we could maybe look into. I don't know how like puncture resistant they are, but
yeah. It could be a bring your own blanket kind of living room.
We could have a little like rent cushions in a concession booth or something. Yeah. So these are, just to give an example of the site furnishings, that these are, I think, are shown in natural wood, but they're all of them are available in that composite material as well. Yeah.
Are there any other questions, Mike, that you guys had on the living room?
I guess with the living room, is there any other programming elements? Like, you know, it really is just kind of an outdoor, where we want it to kind of feel a little residential, just enough to where hopefully people, you know, will want to hang out there. Is there any other, you know, we have the shade structure, we have different options of seating. We do have, we're looking at where there's some bar counters, kind of where facing the playground. So with some, you know, convenience outlets to where people can plug in.
Do you have any questions about lighting that we could answer in the living room?
Our assumption is that we were going to have some lighting off the pergola structure. And depending if the fireplace stays, we probably want to not go too crazy with lighting, just so it's not going to compete. But we will have pole lighting in the vicinity, so it's not going to be like super dark.
Yeah, I just wondered, at some point in our past discussion, we talked about maybe lights that would be recessed in some of the concrete that would shine down on the ground, or maybe some bollard lighting that would light up the entrances or something. And I just didn't know if you'd done any more
work
on that.
But we will shortly. I mean, that's basically kind of our next step, is to really refine this.
I mean, I could see where the living room shouldn't be lit up like a stadium. Mm-hmm. But it could be very attractive to have lighting that maybe shone down on the pathways periodically, or the entrances, where you had some light that would lead you into the central area there.
Like a cafe.
And I don't mean to talk like a landscape architect. I didn't want to miss that if you had questions about the lighting.
Yeah, no, I think lighting is good. I think just soft, warm lighting is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what I...
One suggestion I have is maybe to have somehow build into the tables a light feature. Mm. So it feels like a lamp.
Okay.
You know, like it feels like a living room lamp, but that's not exposed so that it could be stolen or damaged. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
It's an interesting idea, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, so along the bar, and then I think a couple of areas where, you know, if somebody does want to plug in a laptop or charge their phone, there'd be some options to do that. Okay. So I guess, do we want to move forward with the fire feature? Is that a consensus? Okay.
I think so. Provided we continue to work on the design. Seems like it. I see the council's nodding heads. Yes. So yes. I'll just put that in the minutes. You're all nodding yes.
I'll verbalize thumbs up.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, then we got these little kind of swing chairs, I think, kind of more playful.
I have one question on the swing sets, going back to the playground. As you say, they love swings. Is there a way you can put maybe like a 2-to-1 ratio or something so that, I mean, in the little kids' area, I can see how you would have the little baby swings.
Uh-huh.
That are those moldable plastic ones, but is there a way you could increase the number of swings so that you have two bigger ones and then with the one baby swing? Do you have room there?
We can look at it. I can tell you if we add anything else, it's going to be probably tight where in the layout that we have. The one thing I wanted to note too with the like the larger playground, and again, whatever happens in that future phase or what we were calling the urban core is pretty much a huge question mark. But initially, we were thinking about having a little bit of playground carry over to that area. So if there was, you know, offices or whatever that ends up being, and there could be, because we wanted to put more swings. It just, you know, trying to.
So Mike, why don't you tell us the area you're looking at? I think Jessica's going to it right now.
Yeah. So how these this kind of swoop the this corner was going to cut through. So this kind of a bypass to the parking lot right here, and this kind of area would be kind of an additional playground area. Is what we were originally talking about.
So what you're looking at, Council, is to the right of the path is phase two, where the community center building was shown before. To the left is the finished park, but to the right is phase two of that central pathway that you're seeing. Yeah.
And this isn't completely vetted yet, so I mean...
But it is an area we could add to the playground.
Yeah, this is an area we could add, but I wanted to note that there's... We are trying to save, there's actually three trees right in this area. Huh. And this is the area that, about the only area I think we can make do with the layout. But that might be kind of a neat area if you could integrate the playground kind of around some of those existing trees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So...
Well, I think this is really helpful to G. Brown and to Hogan to have some of these questions answered. Thank you for taking the time. I think we're trying to get our final plans drawn up so that we can begin work on the park. And so I think we can proceed from here. You know, we may again share some details if we decide on a fire feature we like, we'll show it to you and those kinds of things. But I think from here, the plans are going to get finalized and then we'll start to go out to bid and to really begin construction.
Yeah. And to so be honest, like with the, just, sorry, Ken.
No, go ahead.
Is that like the grading, there's a lot, I mean, these drawings are getting pretty close. So like any major shifts would,
right.
It would slow the process down for sure.
Yeah.
So,
no, I don't want to speak for the council, but I think we're all well past being considering the design needs to change. I think the design is great. It's what we want, and I think we're really ready to go on this design.
Can I make a comment that's adjacent to this project, which is about dogs in the park? Which I think is something we should continue to talk about. One idea that was brought up is that the unfinished portion back where the baseball diamond would be could be used as a temporary dog park. Although I think, Ken, you brought up a really good point that once that is there as a dog park, I think it'll be really hard to take it away as a dog park. I would recommend or request that there is some thought put into where else could we have a dog space in the downtown or midtown area. And one thing that I thought is maybe Mathis Park. I think Mathis Park is large. That's the name of the park on Highway 89, right? Am I getting it? Okay. I think it is largely underutilized, and potentially that could be a space. And I feel like if we have a space near to this area where we say you can't have dogs here, but you can have them here, I think that could avoid a lot of that problem. But it might not be a good idea. So maybe just in the conversations of, is this a good idea? What else would we recommend for dogs? But maybe a clear recommendation of here's what we think we should do with dogs.
Yeah, and that's thank you for that question. The other thing we've talked about as a staff, and this is also in a phase two, but Mike, on the west side of the park, we've also talked maybe about reserving a space for a dog run or a dog area. Isn't that right?
Yes, yeah, so
conversation. I don't know how vetted that idea is yet, but.
Yeah, so. We still got to have further discussions with UDOT, but uh-huh. The preliminary discussions that we had with them, they mentioned that they may require a fence on their right-of-way line, which would bring, I can't remember what it was, I think it was 10 feet from the sound wall. But that would, if they are requiring that, we'd prefer that it would just be from the sound wall and it's all park. It would be probably at least our preference. But if we are required to have that fence, it could be act as a dog run, I assume.
So I don't think that's a completed idea, but it's something we're looking at. I appreciate the I do think the town center needs a location for a dog park. I've been really reluctant to say Hatch Park should have a dog park because I don't think the stakeholders and the committee members and everybody that's been working on this for 3 years, they all considered that idea and said this is not the right place for it. So we should. I'm kind of sensitive to honoring that recommendation, but I do think there are a number of locations in the town center where we may find are good locations for a dog park separate from Hatch Park. And we'll keep looking. That's a good recommendation.
Anything else? Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jessica.
Let's get going on that. Let's adjourn for a couple of minutes and we'll reconvene.